Hello, welcome to Caterpillar Nation. I'm Jill Kimball, licensed clinical social worker and private practice therapist. Please follow me as we create a safe place to learn about mental health, mental illness, and mental wellness. We will explore the psychology of who we are and how we develop into our best mental health. Just like caterpillars who transform before becoming butterflies, we are also on a journey to find our best self. Stay tuned. Hello. Welcome to our third episode, Handling Stress. I'm Jill Kimball. On today's podcast, we'll be focusing on different types of stress, how it affects people in different ways, and what you can do to best manage your stress wherever it's coming from. Let's start out by agreeing that not all stress is created equal. There's stress that we have some control over, and there is some stress we have no control over. Stress that I have control over is perhaps my performance on an exam. Stress that I have no control over is waiting for results of medical testing. There is some stress with serious consequences, like waiting for the results of a medical test. And there are some stressors where the outcome is just not that big of a deal. And this can be something like losing your mittens or trying to find something in your house. So we know that people have all different kinds of reactions to stress. Some people have strong reactions, and some people are those flexible, go-with-the-flow kinds of people. Overall, when we're talking about stress, we are looking at the kind of demands that are put upon us, or threats that we face that get in the way of us achieving the goals we want. Some kinds of demands can be demands on our time, demands on our money, handling the expectations within a relationship. We have threats to our financial picture, threats to relationships and jobs, deadlines, and even the weather can give us stress. And then, of course, we have the good and helpful kind of stress, like me being concerned that I want to arrive to work on time, so that motivates me to set my alarm. And then we have the hurtful kind of stress, where demands push us farther than our ability to respond, and we might feel helpless and unsure of the outcome. When stress is very demanding, our nervous system will react with that fight or flight response. What we know is that really it's a fight, flight, freeze, or fawn response, that everyone has a different way that they react to threat. Some of the reactions are helpful. They might motivate us to move. Other reactions are hurtful, if perhaps it causes us to freeze. One thing to keep in mind is that our perception of stress matters. If we perceive that a demand is too much for us, our stress level rises and engages our nervous system with some type of reaction. And that could interfere with our ability to respond. If we have that dramatic kind of personality where we do have strong reactions to things, spilling our coffee can be a big deal. Getting a flat tire feels like it wrecks our day. But if instead we can foster an attitude that is something like, I don't know what's going to happen, but whatever it is, I can handle it, then we're able to calm down and we're in a better place to respond to the demand or threat. So if we spill our coffee, yeah, it's a bummer. And cleaning up the mess is a bummer. But it's just one more thing in our day. We don't have to have a terrible reaction to it. We could just say, wow, that's a bummer. I have a mess to clean up. Getting a flat tire on the way to work. It's really not the end of the world. There are things we can do. We can call a friend. We can call roadside service. We can call work and let them know that we're going to be running late and then wait for help to come. Or if you know how to change your tire, another option is that you take a breath and you fix it yourself. Really being able to stop and take a breath before we react to any kind of threat or stress puts us in the best place to do a better assessment of how serious is this stressor. So when, let's say I can't find my mittens and I need to go shovel snow, I might start getting frustrated and I'm looking around and feeling like I'm never going to find them. This is a great moment to stop, take a breath, and then assess how serious is this problem? Do I need to whine or swear or have a reaction? Or is the solution just pick a different pair of gloves or mittens? As you can see, we can, when we're able to calm ourselves, we can come up with more options to resolve our problem. And again, we can come up with that attitude, well, I don't know where they are, but I know I have other options, and at some point I need to find them. Maintaining your cool is so helpful when we're responding to stress. Unless you're being chased by a tiger or you're in a life or death kind of situation, a good first step is just to stop and take that breath. Maybe take two breaths and become fully present and then assess what's going on and ask yourself, what are my options? Additionally, you might want to ask yourself, is this thing going to matter in 5 hours, in 5 days, or 5 years? Because often we have a huge reaction to something that later turns out to not be that big of a deal. So let's go back to the assessment of, is this a stress that I have control over, or is this a stress where I just don't have control? Of course, a stress that we don't have control over can feel more threatening, but if we breathe and assess it, what we can figure out is that there's nothing to do about it, that waiting, say you're waiting for that medical exam result, what you can do is focus on distracting activities, soothing activities. This might be going for a walk, talking to a friend, getting a drink of water, working on an art project, cleaning your house. Distractions these days are everywhere for us, and we can make choices to not hyperfocus on a threat that we have no control over. And the truth is, if we get bad news, we will figure out how to respond to it. That's our only option. If something bad is going on, we're going to have to figure out some way to respond to it. And I'm not saying it's not scary, but getting ourselves hyped up engaging our nervous system with a lot of adrenaline and pressure only makes us more emotional and have more difficulty waiting to find out results. If it's a stress that we have some control over, like an exam, then we can use that stress to motivate us to study. We can put some problem solving into what's the best kind of study habits I can use? How can I best prepare for this? It's coming back to the idea of our perception of stress matters. I love the quote from Henry Ford that is, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So if you think you can't handle this stress, you're right. You're going to have some type of collapse response. But if you do a realistic assessment, most likely you can handle this stress and you can come up with some type of solution, some way to respond that is not hurtful. That doesn't mean that the medical test results won't be hurtful. They might. But we waste a lot of good quality time worrying about things and reacting to things that never happen. So, if we're able to practice some mindfulness and work on being fully present, taking that breath before we face some kind of stress, we don't have to spend a lot of unnecessary energy thinking about worst-case scenario. What can we do to put ourselves in the best place to be able to respond to stress when we face it? So this comes down to some self-care that contributes to our best mental health. Are you rested? Have you been getting some good sleep? Are you fed? Are you hydrated? Have you been spending some time outdoors, doing physical activity, hanging out with some supportive people, people who help you rise up? We need to be aware of spending time with high drama people because these people feed off of stress. I think they call them emotional vampires, that they come to you with their stress that's so dramatic and they don't know what it's going to do, and we end up getting contagious stress. This is a time for us to be using those boundaries, the invisible fences that go between our feelings and someone else's feelings, the invisible fences that are between your stress and my stress. It's not that I don't care about your stress. I definitely do. But it won't help the situation if I'm feeling your pain or your struggle. I can care about you without feeling it necessary to take care of you. So think about the people that you spend time with. Are they uplifting people who tend to have a positive attitude about positive outcomes, that kind of attitude that says, I don't know what's going to happen, but whatever it is, I'm going to handle it, and life is going to go on. Sometimes a lot of bad things do happen, and we need to strengthen ourselves. We might need to monitor and make sure we're getting good sleep and drinking water and eating. We might need to talk with our friends or make sure we're working out so that we're in the best place to handle stress that's coming on. Sometimes the stress we face can flood us and make us overwhelmed. This might be the kind of stress that's created by a big loss, a death, a disability, I guess since COVID happened and we were in a time of a pandemic, our stress sensors went way up because we felt like we didn't have a lot of control over our time, our movement, our supplies, our jobs, over our social life or our family life. And that kind of threat, I think, has led us to be hypersensitive to threat in our environment. But we can work on becoming more resilient by following these kind of self-care things where taking care of our mental and physical health becomes a priority for us. I often recommend to clients to create what I call the mental go-to list. And this is a list that a person can run through when they face a stress. It's a list of things that they know they can do. For instance, they can ask themselves, what proof do I have that this is going to turn into worst case scenario? Would it be helpful for me to talk to a friend? Would it be helpful to journal about this? Maybe I need to go for a walk. Maybe I just need a drink of water or to wash my hands. You can get a hug or give a hug, pet your dog or your teddy bear, you know, go outside for a walk, use a peaceful visualization, connect with nature. It is important to have these ways to respond to stress. And as I mentioned in the previous episode, relying on substances to help us handle stress is not a wise idea for our long-term mental health. I also think being able to pause before we react to a new stress can give us that chance that lets us say, what lesson is life trying to show me right now? What part of the big picture am I not seeing? Most of us know stories about losing a job or a relationship that felt devastating, but later opened up a door to greater opportunities. Things that we might not have been available for if we had to make the choice about stay or go. So having this kind of flexible thinking is another one of those ways to have a better perception of stress when it comes our way. Having ideas about how you can help your mind react is helpful. Another project I love to do with clients is called Sparks of Joy. Sparks of Joy are those little things that can give us a smile, a great feeling of happiness, and random joy. When I make my Sparks of Joy list, there are things on it like go to the beach, watch a sunset, even drink a Coca-Cola. I don't drink pop that much, but I love to have a sparkly Coke now and then. And if I'm having a bad day, I can look on my Sparks of Joy list and say, I'm going to go buy a Coke and sit at the beach. I like to read books. I like to color and make things. I like to cook. I like to visit with friends. I especially love to spend time with my grandsons. That always puts a smile on my face, no matter how demanding it might be. So get a piece of paper and in the center of the page, write the words Sparks of Joy and just start listing things you like. I like going for long drives. I like driving in the woods. I like hiking. I like shopping. I think I already said I like reading. Sometimes I like video games and movies. So the truth is, I can come up with a big list of things that can bring a smile to my face. And getting myself familiar with this makes it easier to access when I feel like things are out of control or things aren't going my way. There will be times when stress overwhelms us, and this is a good time to access therapy or counseling. Therapists provide a non-judgmental, unconditionally accepting place for you to talk through and be heard, your fears, what threats you're facing, have your feelings validated, sometimes exploring options for how you want to handle stress and developing healthy coping. Some threats or stress we face may be life-threatening. They may rise to the form of trauma. In the next episode, I will be talking more about trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder. When people have the ability to access support and process huge stress that they've gone through, they're less likely to develop symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. But if a person doesn't have that kind of support and an opportunity to process, the experience kind of gets stuck in them and then later is triggered, bringing their mind right back to that place of the initial stress. So again, immediate stress, great for therapy. Post-traumatic stress, where you're carrying an injury from the past and it's still affecting you, another great way to use therapy. So today we've been talking about the reality that not all stress is created equal, that there is some stress we have control over and some stress we don't have control over. There are times when distraction is helpful for coping with stress that we don't have control over. And there are times when planning and preparation is helpful for coping when we have control over the stress. There are stressors that have serious consequences that we might need more help and more preparation responding to. And there are some stressors where the outcomes are not a big deal, but we have a tendency to overreact. Practicing your breathing, relaxation, meditation, mindfulness put us in the best place, the best condition to handle any stress that comes our way. Being aware of different styles of thinking to assess and check our perceptions of stress can be helpful. Having a list of your sparks of joy, things that you can go to when you're under high stress that will make you feel better, can be helpful too. And sometimes stress is going to be so intense that you might need professional help to deal with it. And that's okay. What matters is your perception of the stress and developing the attitude that I don't know what's going to happen, but whatever it is, I can handle it. This too shall pass. I can do it. Keeping those things in mind put us in a better place to handle any stress we face. Thank you for being part of Caterpillar Nation. This is Jill Kimball. A podcast can never take the place of professional mental health services. If you're in crisis, please text 988 or call 1-800-273-TALK. Check out my website, caterpillarnation.com, and my new Facebook group, Caterpillar Nation 2024. If you like what you heard, please share this with your friends. You can follow the podcast and rate and review the podcast. Remember, the journey to health begins with knowledge. Stay informed, stay empowered. Until next time, keep learning and growing. Take care.